If you have ever considered exhibiting at a trade show, I know that your first question will likely be, what kind of return on investment can I expect? And how many orders will I write at that show? Well, today we're talking real results from an independent brand who recently exhibited at New York Now. Paper Camp alum and Labs member Christy Asper of Paper Baristas is openly sharing how many orders, the dollar amounts, and lessons she learned while exhibiting at New York Now. This is part two of a two-part series. If you missed part one, I'd encourage you to push pause and go back and look up episode 236. In part one, episode 236, Christy shared behind the scenes of preparing for this show. We talked just days before she left for New York Now. That was the pre-show interview, and today is the post-show interview. But real quick, I wanted to let you know that we recently put together a resource library that houses all of my free content in one place. This library was built for product-based business owners that want to start, streamline, or scale their businesses. And that's you, friend. So head to proofToProduct.com/resources to get instant access to this rich resource library. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Hey, Christy, welcome back to Proof to Product.
Hi, glad to be back on. Thanks for having me, Katie. Yeah,
of course. I'm excited to chat with you and hear about your experience at New York Now last month. For everyone that's listening for the first time, we did a part one with Christy before she went and exhibited at New York Now recently. And now this is part two, where we're talking about the results and things she learned. So, you know, Christy, are you comfortable sharing how many orders you wrote or your general ROI from New York Now?
Yeah, I want to be as transparent as possible so that people can kind of gauge our experience versus others and what they hope for. And yeah, happy to do it.
Awesome. So let us know then, how many orders did you write and what was your general ROI?
Yeah. So actually, before we went to the show, we kind of touched about this before, but before the show, I sent three key accounts an email just very directly about the show that's coming up, our new releases. And because of that email, we walked into the show with already altogether about $12,000 on the up.
That's great.
You know, $12,000 minus the fee of the show. So being in the greeting card village, greeting card association village, was like really good for us because we didn't have to take this huge chunk out of what we were, you know, going to spend going in. So yeah. I spent only about $2,000 going into the show. The booths are a lot like this. So
that's significantly less than exhibiting on your own. Our alumni tend to spend, you know, $12,000 to $15,000 to do a show like New York Now. So just for perspective there for our listeners.
Yes, exactly. So going into the show, I mean, it was something really surreal for us because it wasn't something that I feel like you think about going to New York Now after doing Paper Camp and after doing Labs, once you already arrive, you know, you don't do it. Arrived and can spend that much and get something out of it. So doing the Greeting Card Association Village was phenomenal and being able to be there and kind of help the logistics nightmare of what it would look like to have a booth, what it would look like to ship things there. You know, it's just in a much smaller scale, but you're still able to be present and in front of people. And we had no idea how the show was going to turn out because of COVID. And then again, the surges of COVID again, I think I was really glad we did that GCA village. Yeah. As an option first. So
that's good. So you kept your expenses low. You had that order previous to the show for $12,000. How many orders did you write while you were there at the show?
Yeah. So at the actual show, like from people that came through, and this is probably like rough numbers. My husband's better at the number part of it, but we probably wrote about 12 orders at the show.
Okay.
Had a total of, we guess, about 22 orders, because we basically, anyone who came through the show, a lot of them would like to place orders that evening. And so they were all original orders that we had come through fair within that, you know, the show time that happened. And then I do think that there's more orders that came through. Just even looking at fair now from our mailer, we were over 70% of direct orders.
That's great. I was going to ask, do you feel that your pre-show marketing elevated your sales at New York Now and then also online while you were at the show?
Absolutely. Yeah. We had retailers who specifically came to order to us from the show because they received our mailer. Mm-hmm. We sent out 4,000 mailers.
Right.
So it's kind of a hit or miss. You're hoping that someone will come through, but definitely there are some people like, I got your mailer, or I've gotten your mailers. And you hope you don't come off like, oh, we try not to bombard you with stuff. But yeah, we had some sales that we've reached out to people for like 3 years. And I don't know if like being at New York Now made it more legit, like we're a more legitimate company. So now they can order from us, or they actually came to see the product. And that helped. But I would say we probably had 22 orders around that specific time. And then over the month, this has been our best month yet in business. I would say over 70% have been direct.
That's great. I was going to say, it's been about, we're recording this about a month out from the show. So what type of post-show follow-up have you done?
Well, that was a little bit of a nightmare, just because I had the funeral right afterwards in Dallas that I had to drive through. We're finally up on, no, it's okay. We finally catching up on all that email, but we had already automated some mailers, some emails to go out just telling people, hey, we are at the show. We're going to extend the show discounts up February. So we told them that they had till February 28th to make a purchase, you know, and that really helped quite a bit. We had quite a bit of sales just by doing that. So I think that having that follow-up, you know, we, not just one email, but like, hey, you know, it was like right after the show, we had one that was like, you know, if you didn't get to make the show, great news, you have till this date. And then we had another follow-up email, like reminding people a week before, like, hey, you only have a week left. And then like a day before, like tomorrow's the last day for our show specials. And just reminding them that we'll be, the next show we will be at with show specials will be noted in San Francisco. So,
I love you using that tiered approach that we talked about in Labs and Paper Camp. You're making my heart happy here.
Well, so Katie, like that's exactly what we did. And I think that is what we can attribute most of our growth to, is like when we hear something in Labs or in paper products, when other people are doing it, we're like, okay, we should jump on that. We need to do that. And so we hired like a virtual assistant just to kind of set up those emails that just automatically, which really helps during a time when your family is going through a lot of stuff where you're busy, you know, like just even coming back from a show is really busy packaging up orders. So yeah, I would say that overall, like that, it was a really good month.
That's fantastic. Number-wise. I also think it's really incredible to highlight. I just want to kind of emphasize here for our listeners, like you did your pre-show mailers and your email sequences. You did your post-show follow-up. You had things at the show that were readily available and were taking orders there. You were leveraging your fair virtual market kind of coinciding with New York Now. So, you know, all of those things, well, two things I want to point out. One, the success of a show doesn't just happen those days on the show floor. It happens leading up to a show and long after the show is done. And that's something I talk about a lot in our programming. And then secondly, the account that ordered with you finally after 3 years, that goes to show you constantly, like that's kudos to you, because that shows that they were paying attention. They were watching you strengthen your brand and your products. They were paying attention and you kept pinging them. You stayed on their radar. You did your thoughtful marketing and it paid off. So, you know, hopefully that's somebody that's going to work with you for a really long time, but it's a good reminder to everybody listening that sometimes it's just slow growth and it takes a while for people to warm up and place that order. So don't give up on that follow-up.
Absolutely. Yes. This store, I only know it's an order that we've tried for years, just because this is a shop I adored when I lived in Oklahoma. Mm. So it was just, you know, where I first took my first calligraphy class, you know, like I knew the shop. So when they placed that order, it was just like, I don't know, it was better than, you know, it was like better than a big key account, you know, it was like, oh, this is the shop we've wanted to be in for That's so long. And it's a small mom and pop shop, but you know,
it meant
a lot.
It totally does. It means a lot. Okay. What went better than you expected at the show, either in setup or during the show when you were talking with buyers?
Well, I mean, I'll have to say that driving in was a blessing in disguise because I was able to work up until the very last minute since I wasn't able to go to New York until like the Thursday before the show. We had huge storms come through. So I was able to ensure that all of our Valentine and fair market orders went out before the show because I think it was kind of this awful, like, but really good kind of mix of events with the fair market happening and then Valentine's all coinciding right before New York now.
Yeah.
And those orders don't really care whether or not you have a show coming up. You know, they need their cards in store. They need to send their Valentine to their friend. So that took a huge weight off. Also, just like logistically being able to drop off the product, I was able to physically like have my own car, see where to drop things off, see where to pick things up. So that was kind of just better than I ever expected. Also, just the people in the greeting card village, just because we had spent so much time together, it really kind of unified us. And since then, we've been on an app. Well, even before the show, we were on like WhatsApp and we were able to share stories and kind of help each other along. And so that went just even better than I imagined.
That's awesome.
And just getting the orders before even going was like just confirmation. Not that I didn't have to go to the show, but that, like, you know, that solidified me going to the show, I guess, you know, like I took the weight off, I guess.
I was just going to say, it takes the weight off and the stress off. I mean, every show I've ever done, I remember standing in my booth, like just waiting for that first order to break the ice, you know, and like you feel stressed out about it. And like you having that ice essentially broken before you even went to the show makes it a lot less pressure for sure. Yes. You know, before we started recording, you mentioned that not having a printed catalog hurt you. This is something we talked about in part one, how like you were short on time and it was something you decided had to be cut. And in your recap here, you said that, you know, people just ended up ordering what they saw on the wall. They didn't flip through your deck that you had. You know, I'm in week two, when we're recording this right now, I'm in week two of Paper Camp, and we have had a lot of pushback from people, kind of pushback, but they're pushing back on whether or not they truly need a catalog. And I, of course, keep saying, yes, a catalog is a critical sales tool. So I would love for you to share your experience with this and how it may have hurt you or what you would do differently going forward.
Yeah. So I definitely was one of those people that like times are changing. They can go online to get, you know, like a catalog. But I would say most of the people that came to our booth, those first 12 initial orders, and then we had people that went back and did more orders, but those 12 orders. And I have to say that like three main people walked through. I had Magnolia come to our booth. I had Urban Outfitters and Paper Source. And all they really had a chance to see was my wall. And I had only a door panel, basically. So I only had a certain amount of cards up. And because the booths are close to one another, they're very rarely does someone want to sit through a deck of it. And a lot of these bigger key accounts want to see like the overview real fast. They're not, a lot of them are not going to go back to their, you know, hotel and look through all this stuff. So it hurt us because I would say like some shops just picked out, literally, I'd probably say most of the shops just picked out what was right in front of them. Mm-hmm. Several that tried to look through our deck. But again, because the space was so small, they tried to start looking through our deck. And then they were just like, I'll look online later and place more of an order the next go around. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of orders ranged around $55 to $100 to $200, but could have been way more had they seen all the options, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of that follow-up is going to have to happen, where they can see our online catalog. But it's too bad that they couldn't have a catalog with them.
Yeah.
And so the cool part was, you know, we did send those like one sheeters with where they could use a Starbucks code on the back, and people were using them because I would get an update and refill my account because I only had it at $25. So I could kind of see were people using it, and I could see people were using it. So at least like our name, our brand was seen a second time by these people. And that was important to me.
Yeah.
But I will say, I significantly think that our orders could have been larger had we had a catalog. That's not to say I wanted like 500 catalogs, because I did that one time and it was a big mistake, you know, like, there's just too many catalogs, handing them out like candy. But getting the right amount of catalogs and not needing to hand them out like candy would have been good, you know?
Yeah, that actually, that question just came up in paper camp too. And I was telling people, it depends on how you're going to use them. If you're going to a show, if you're using them in your cold outreach, if you're using them to drop them into orders for your existing wholesale accounts, like, you know, all those pieces will add more to the quantity you want to produce. But yeah, I mean, you know, you could leverage this as a follow-up piece if you end up doing your catalog sooner than later, like before noted. And anyone you met at New York Now, you could drop them a catalog with a couple samples of things that they didn't already purchase and just say, hey, you know, it was really great to meet you in New York and we wanted to follow up and give you the full catalog here.
Yeah, I think that's for sure what we'll do. We've already are setting up our catalog as we speak. And we probably will have like a coffee component to it as well. But we're making our catalog so that it can ship individually, right? Mm-hmm. So that it doesn't envelope. So there's a way to do that where it can ship separately. I probably will not order more than 100 though. And you have to kind of keep in mind too, like paper costs are skyrocketing right now too. So, but I do, as a buyer, they're expecting that paper component.
They are.
I think as a paper company, that's what we should provide because they don't know logistically how much it costs for us. It costs just as much as anybody else. They think we're getting this like crazy discount because we're a paper company, but we're not.
Well, the other thing is too, for those that don't want to take a catalog, having that extra mailer that has the QR code or like links out, you know, to different things, that way they just have choices. So those that want a catalog can have it. And those that don't can take the other smaller piece. And that way your bases are covered for sure.
Yes. I agree. But yeah, I think our orders could have been larger. And had we not had those key accounts before the show, I think we would have maybe a little bit surpassed what we put into New York. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where I think doubled what we would have made in New York had we had that catalog that they could just flip through and order from.
Gotcha. Okay. What did you learn from the show specifically about your brand or even how you run your business? I know you mentioned some systems and also just more refining of your why.
Oh my goodness. How much time do we have? A couple of things. So literally crossing the Hudson River was like such a surreal moment. This show really solidified why I'm doing what I'm doing. I could have shed a couple of tears, I'm pretty sure, because I was driving over the Hudson. And I'm like, I'm here. And it wasn't that arrival feeling that we had talked about earlier, you know, like after you do paper camp, you're like, only the big wigs do, you know, New York Now and spend $10,000. It was this feeling of I did it in one of the most difficult seasons of my life. I still showed up. I was doing the hard things. And after all the setbacks and all the delays in our mailer and our printer broke during this time, our catalogs not being finished, the big storm, the death in our family, I was still here and I was still showing up. And I think, you know, being at this show really gave me a re-envisioned of why I was doing things. New York was kind of a full circle for me. And you're one of the first people that I feel comfortable sharing this with, but you know, we have a commitment for fair trade. We have a commitment to fight against modern slavery, but it's not my deeper why. My parents were immigrants and my father was working in a sweatshop when I was a child in New York, and it was a real struggle for them. So it's easy to think that modern day slavery and unfair labor practices are happening overseas, but it was like a reality right here. So here I was in New York, in the state where my dad worked in, with unfair labor conditions, fighting the very thing he faced, which to me was like just a win period, whether we made money or didn't make money. And then I knew that the following week after the show, we had this funeral. And this is something I definitely have never shared with anyone, but I had to face a family member who took advantage of me as a child. And I didn't have the power to fight back then, but in my older years in life, that is my mission. That's what I'm doing. Is I'm keeping people safe. And that is my why. And that's why I'll keep showing up. And to me, it just gave me the reason of why I'm doing this. And I'm going to keep showing up. So I think it gave me a bigger purpose and a bigger vision for our business. Even though I already had it, it was just kind of like my aha moment. Like, this is why I'm still standing. And I think like coming back from the show was just, you know, it also made me realize, like, if I want to grow and I want to scale this business, then I've got to put the right systems in place. I better get serious about this business, which I am serious, but I think I came away from all this like high of why I'm fighting back and why I'm fighting so hard for my business, how to logistically do that, not just a passion, but the systems I have to put in place, you know, like the packaging mm-hmm. systems. While I was gone, my in-laws were so gracious in helping us pack and ship. I think everyone was just trying to survive, but I need to really have those things in place of like, this is how you package. This is what it's supposed to look like. This is how you count. This is, you know, all the things that seem really, you know, unimportant basically, but they're the small things that lead up to getting the help you need so you can walk away from your business if you need to, or keep it going.
Absolutely. Also, Christy, can I just say you are so incredibly strong, and thank you for doing what you do and for trusting us to share that story with us. Your why is definitely a strong driver in this business, and I'm so pleased that things are going so well for you.
Thanks. I mean, it's something that I don't share very often because I think that one, I want to protect family members. I just feel like if people don't know why we're doing what we're doing, then it won't be clear why we're so passionate about it. Yeah. And that every product that we create stemming from that really needs to reflect our why. So now we're in product mode thinking of like, what reflects fair trade? Like, does our packaging, does our rebranding reflect fair trade? Does, you know, where I think before I had that in mind, but not every product we created directly reflected that. If yeah. that makes sense, like creating gift wrap now that is going to be reusable. And so just like the sustainability component with everything really needs to be evident from our packaging to just everything. And I don't know if we've been as like, you know, I talked about earlier, like you need to create your niche, you need to be different, you need to have everything like underline your brand, but that is our brand, or why is our brand. And to me, it was really clear at the show that I wasn't being absolutely clear. If you just directly looked at our products of what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how it's being done, you know, so mm-hmm. It's going to take a lot for us to kind of re-envision a lot of things, because like we still use clear packaging even though it's recyclable, it is biodegradable. We use biodegradable stuff, but nowhere in our packaging does it say that, so no one knows when they just come up to our package that that's what we're using.
Well, and it's so a transition like, too, so you know, piece by piece,
right? Yeah. But I think that that was kind of a big takeaway
for sure. All right, what was your overall perception of the winter 2022 New York Now show?
Okay. So, I wasn't at the summer show before, but mm-hmm. I did hear it was better. And it could be for a couple of reasons. It could be because COVID was down. I heard a lot of people say that it was a better show, probably because it was the first show open to buyers and people were ready to shop. I will say that compared to other New York Nows that people have been, attending, because I asked people, you know, they basically said that, it was one of the slower ones. Say by Tuesday of the show was pretty dead.
Did you feel that the buyers were, even though traffic was slower, did you feel like the buyers that were there were there to buy, were there to purchase?
I do think that the buyers were there. You had a quality group of buyers. And I also think that like some of your bigger key accounts were able to stop by a little bit more. I know Barnes & Noble was there and came through the village. They weren't specifically at my booth, but they were there. And I think more people had time to talk to everyone. Like, you know, Paper Source came by and talked to every single person. That was really neat.
That's great.
We also, yeah. So, I mean, I think you had a quality buyer, and I think overall everyone who attended said, yeah, it was more like quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. And then we also had a fellow alumni from Trade Show Bootcamp or Proof to Product Now, Steel Pedal Press. And she was so generous to shop with us while she was also showing in New York Now. Again, another big win for us, but I felt like, you know, she came over and I was super nervous because I think it was such an honor to meet her. You know, she's been a fellow maker for so long and she's been doing it for a long time. So I was a big fan. So to get to have an opportunity to talk to her while the show was kind of slow was kind of nice.
Oh, that's fun. She was great. She's been in my mastermind and I've coached her for a long time. She's wonderful.
Yeah, she's wonderful. So I will say quality over quantity, for sure. I will say that it's not the show it was when I used to visit NSS, you know, and dream of showing at New York Now. the thing that I came away with that that last day was like, well, if we don't have anyone here, literally, it was like, Dad, I'm going to have people pull into my booth. I'm going to pull people into my booth that are fellow makers and ask them what they get out of my brand or what I could be doing differently. And that was extremely helpful for me, kind of eye-opening about a few things that, you know, I think we don't see what's wrong, or maybe not particularly wrong, but what someone else perceives about your product and what you're actually trying to communicate. So I just shamelessly would grab people and be like, okay, tell me like brutally honest truth. Tell me the worst thing, you know? And yeah. I think that helps, that last day, just kind of collecting my thoughts. And it was the day that I kind of started sending emails and doing things like that. So.
Oh, good. Well, what do you think? Will you go back to New York now, or do you think you'll focus on other shows or no shows? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah. That's a good question. I would do New York now again in the GCA Village instead of my own booth, because I'm not seeing the traffic yet to qualify a big booth, mm-hmm. but it definitely, you know, still had quality people walking through it. I still want to try two other shows before I make a decision on what show I want to do yearly besides Noted. So I want to try Shop Object. There was a lot of chatter about Shop Object and yep. Las Vegas. I've never even walked Vegas, so I kind of want to see it before I make that commitment. And then I'm on the Noted committee, so I have big aspirations for it. I'll stick with that yearly. This year it's going to be in San Francisco. So I don't have much capacity, and I want to financially invest more in some upcoming products like that reusable fabric wrap. I kind of just want to rethink fair trade and how to do those things and how to communicate that through what's typically paper products. So that takes an investment. So we'll see how many shows that's really long. It's just not logical with kids and everything else. So I would do New York again. I think I'm just going to try a few more before I make that commitment to anything really right now. And it'll take another year to do that. I'll have to do one show this year and then another show next year and kind of make a decision on that. So
absolutely. It's one at a time, right? We don't need to plan so far out. Yeah. Awesome, Chrissy. Well, this was great to hear your recap post show. Thank you so much for sharing so openly and transparently with us, both in terms of what you went through prior to the show and then now after the show and how it's worked out for you. So we really appreciate your time and sharing your experiences with us.
Hey, thanks so much, Katie. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Huge thanks to Chrissy for taking time to come back and share her experiences at New York Now recently. I'm so happy that the show was successful for her. I also want to take a quick minute just to remind everyone that Chrissy's business is just one of several that we're exhibiting at the show. Her results, the outcomes, and even the strategies that she utilized and that we talked about here on this episode, that will vary from company to company. And neither Chrissy or I want you comparing your journey to anyone else's. Chrissy shared openly like she did because she wanted to provide perspective and also transparency around a topic that is not often talked about publicly, and that's money. So please don't compare your business journey to anyone else's, and we hope you found today's episode helpful. If you are interested in selling wholesale and exhibiting at trade shows, please check out our Paper Camp program. We will open it up again in the fall, which I know feels like it's a long ways away, but we've got lots of resources available for you in our resource library and on our website, and of course here on the podcast too. But if you did find today's episode helpful, I ask two things. One, if you could head to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and write a short but glowing review, I would greatly appreciate it. It won't take more than 2 minutes, I promise. Or if you want to take a screenshot and share it on Instagram in your stories, tag me at Proof2Product and we'll do our best to share it. I hope you have a wonderful week and I'll talk to you soon.